Now, quickly becoming one of Australia's favourite writers, best-selling author Sally Hepworth is back with a brand new book, and it's called The Mother-in-Law, something that a lot of people can relate to. To discuss the new novel and some of the secrets that mother-in-laws may be keeping, Sally Hepworth joins us on the phone right now. Good afternoon, Sally.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Thanks for joining us here on 2SER.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the book. It is called The Mother-in-Law, and it's continuing that theme of a very relatable sort of family relationship themes, I guess. Can you tell us where the idea for this book came from and a little bit about it?
Yes, so the question I keep getting asked is, what does your mother-in-law think about it? Is she still speaking to you? And the answer is, yes, she is. It wasn't her that inspired this particular book, because we have a great relationship. Funnily enough, it was my father-in-law who inspired the book. He was staying with me after the birth of my third child and was driving me crazy, God love him. And he was desperate to know the book topic for my next book. And he kept asking and asking and asking. And finally, I turned to him and I said, it's about a woman who murders her father-in-law. And that then, I sat on that for a little while, and I thought, literally, that's not a bad idea, but perhaps if it was about a mother-in-law, that would be a juicier topic, and there'd be more rife for exploration, and so that's how it happened.
Oh, that's an amazing story. I really love that. obviously, there's, you know, some pretty, I guess, juicy topic points in this book that maybe, you know, people can't relate to all of it. But of course, the mother-in-law part of it, you know, the sort of the supposed evil mother-in-law, or especially the mother-in-law from a woman's point of view, where sometimes mother and son can be quite close and she's never quite happy with the person that their son connects with. Yeah. Is that sort of the idea that you had with that bit, where that mother and son sort of often have that real close bond?
Yes, well, that's where I started off. I wasn't sure why it was that this relationship is so fraught, you know, because I'm quite close to my mother-in-law, funnily enough. She lives on the other side of the world, so that makes an attribute to that. But I was fascinated by the fact that this relationship is just so talked about. Everyone has a story about their mother-in-law, and I wanted to know what was going on, which was part of the reason I decided to explore this topic. And, of course, there's the cliché, no one's good enough for my little boy. You know, maybe the mother-in-law or the matriarch's being replaced by this new woman. There's all these theories about why they don't get along. And, of course, the answer is different for every relationship. But one thing that I think is true across the board is that these are two women who are just thrust into this family together. They didn't choose each other. Mm. They're not related. They've had different upbringings, different families, perhaps different cultures. And they just have to sink or swim. There's no recourse for them if they want to get out of this relationship. They can't divorce.
Very true.
They're kind of stuck in it. So I think that in some cases it can be as simple as they just do things differently. They're different people. And when you're in a family with someone who does things differently, it's harder to just be, you know, gloriously accepting. You know, some people like things done their way. So I think that is behind so many of the relationships. No one's evil. No one is, you know, thinks no one's good enough for their little boy. It's just a matter of not everyone getting along, even if they're trying to.
And sometimes it's hard. You try and accept somebody and it just takes time sometimes.
It does take time. Yeah. Good point.
The novel also has an underlying tone regarding women's health. Was this something that you were sort of trying to get across as part of the novel?
Look, I don't know. I've always had an interest in women's health. All of my previous books I've looked at midwifery and birth, I've looked at early onset Alzheimer's, I've looked at cancer, postpartum mood disorder. So I've really kind of run the gamut of health. And, and being a woman and a mother, those topics are interesting to me. And so while I don't necessarily plan what's going to be in each book, women's health ends up in every book somehow, just from the way that I write it.
Yeah.
So no, it wasn't planned, but it isn't a surprise to me that women's health showed up as a major theme.
Sure. The story is also about people sort of keeping secrets, because I feel like every family's got secrets in some way or another. Yeah. Sometimes they don't even get revealed and that person might take them to the grave. I always feel like there's a secret in my family that someone's just not saying, and I've got my theories about it, but it's never come out. You know, I reckon this is one in every family.
Yes, I think so too.
Do we think Do you think that people are afraid of secrets? Like, you know, sometimes there's a secret there for a reason, and maybe you don't need to find it out. What about you? Have you seen that sort of thing happen in secrets in your family or ones that you've found?
Look, I think that secrets are something that historically have been rife in families, and part of that is to do with the fact that in the old days there was so much that there was a stigma around, you know, if someone did have a baby out of wedlock or if there was an affair or all of those things, sort of slowly the stigma is coming away from a lot of those things. So perhaps there's less secrets these days, who knows? But there's also these days more opportunity to be secretive with the, you know, people having phones and that whole technology aspect. In terms of secrets in my own family, if there are any, I haven't found them out yet, which is testimony to someone being a good secret keeper because I'm very nosy. I haven't found any yet. But I'll, you know, watch this space. If I cover anything, you'll probably find out about it in the book.
In the next book, that's right. Yeah. your first book, The Secrets of Midwives, was a highest-selling debut of an Australian fiction of 2015. Well done on that. Before that, you'd written Love Like the French. But what really got you into writing, and when was it?
You know, I've always wanted to write. I wrote my first book when I was 7 years old, which was a collection of short stories that I asked my aunt to publish for me, and she put it in a manila folder and put copyright on the back, and as far as I was concerned, it was published. So it's fair to say that it has always been a goal of mine to write. Yeah. I always was writing in all of the jobs that I had. I worked in human resources, but I was always wanting to write up the policies and procedures. And when I worked in event management, I wanted to write up the programs for the festivals that we organised. So words were a love of mine, but I didn't get started until I was on maternity leave with my first child. I saw this block of time and I thought, it's now or never. And it was much slower than I anticipated because I had a baby as well to look after.
Of course.
Sleep quite as much as I would have loved. But I did manage to write that first book, which was Love Like the French, and that just really lit my love affair of novel writing, and I haven't looked back since then.
Fantastic. And we did chat to you about a year ago about The Family Next Door. Yeah. So it sounds like you sort of write about maybe scenarios and topics that a lot of people can relate to, which I think is what makes you such a well-loved author.
Oh, thank you. I hope so. I like writing to be accessible to as many people as possible and stories to be accessible. So if I've achieved that, then I'm very happy.
And are you always thinking about the next one? Is that the life of an author? Is it you finish one, then you start
always.
The next one?
Always. I'm on a road trip at the moment with my author friend Lisa Ireland, and we are doing a short tour of rural Victoria. Right. And as we're driving along, we're just looking out the window and we're thinking of ideas. So we've already come up with a few goodies today. There's definitely, I've already written my book, which will come out next year, so that one's done.
All right.
And I'm currently looking for ideas for the one after that.
Wow.
So, no shortage of ideas.
That's amazing. Well, good luck with the release of this book, and I hope it all goes well. Thanks for chatting to us again on 2SER.
Oh, most welcome. Thank you for having me.
No worries.